Handmade Fate. Written by Yersina. Narrated by Rhea314. Phantom, S-Classes That I Raised. By Kunso. Pairing, Han Yujin / Song Hyun-jae. Rating, teen and up audiences, no archive warnings apply. Chapter 1. Yujin's words are scrawled on the outside of his left upper arm, forcing him to twist around and squint every time he wants to look at it. The handwriting is neat and tidy, elegant in a way that makes it immediately obvious that they won't meet until much later in Yujin's life.
What does it say?
Yuyan asks curiously, tracing small fingers over the characters. Give Hyung a moment to read it, okay? The writing hasn't always been big enough to be legible, and even after it got big enough for Yujin to try, the thought of attempting to decipher the backwards writing in the mirror gives Yujin a headache. But Yuyan asked, so... After a fair amount of bending his arm around in a way that it definitely doesn't want to turn, and peering down at his skin until his eyes cross, Yujin is finally able to falteringly read out,
"What is the brother of Haeyeon's guild leader doing here?"
Yuyan perks up.
"Brother?"
He scoots closer on Yujin's bed and presses his fingers to Yujin's soul mark, like he can claim the words as part of himself.
"It's talking about me?"
"I guess." Yujin can't make heads or tails of the message, though. Haeyeon, guild leader. He's only ever heard of guild leaders in fantasy anime, and he's definitely never heard the name Haeyeon before. "Maybe they got me confused with someone else." Yuyan pouts until Yujin ruffles his hair, the expression instead breaking into a round of giggles.
"Hyung,"
he whines, trying to catch Yujin's hand, but he pulls it back before Yuyan can grab it.
"Stop."
Both of them freeze at the sound of the front door opening and footsteps in the foyer. Yujin eyes the clock on Yuyan's dresser. 3 hours later than they said they'd be back.
"Mommy?"
Yuyan asks, eyes wide and head cocked to the side. Yujin nods. He gives Yuyan a parting hair tousle and bops him on the nose.
"Shh,"
he whispers conspiratorially. Yuyan, hands still clasped over his nose, nods seriously. The tiptoed trek from Yuyan's bed to his light switch is a familiar one. Yujin makes sure to give one last wave goodbye before turning off the light, and quietly closes the door behind him as he makes his way back to his room. "Haeyeon," he thinks as he slips back into bed. He runs a finger over his arm, where he knows the words are located, and stares up at the inky depths of his ceiling. "Haeyeon." He listens with half an ear as his parents take their shoes off noisily and head to their own room. If he wasn't already awake, the racket would probably be enough to wake him. "Guild leader," he thinks as he falls asleep, wondering exactly what it's supposed to mean. Over a decade later, Yujin gets his answer. The funny thing is, though it's really only funny when Yujin has drunk one too many bottles of soju in an attempt to not think about what the fuck Yuyan is out there doing, Yujin doesn't even find out about the guild from Yuyan. "Youngest guild leader," the newspaper headline screams, and Yujin has to take a long moment at his kitchen counter, staring blankly at his phone. After a minute of his brain slowly working through the implications, because Yuyan knows, he has to know, he uses that very phone to numbly pull up Yuyan's contact information and hit the call button, never mind the fact that Yuyan hasn't picked up any of his calls in a month. Predictably, it goes to voicemail.
"What the fuck?"
Yujin manages, voice strangled, and then hangs up. Without his conscious permission, Yujin's hand finds his arm. "What is the brother of Haeyeon's guild leader doing here?" It's starting to make a terrifying amount of sense. About 2 months into Yujin's self-fulfilling prophecy, courtesy of Yuyan, he gets tired of it very quickly. "What is the brother of Haon's guild leader doing here?" becomes the trademark of his entire life. He can't believe that he used to think that it'd be easy to find his soulmate on account of how obscure the words were. Now he can hardly walk down the street without it being shouted at him by some person or another. If he's being honest with himself, he's surprised that it even took this long. Yuyan had already shot to fame on account of being the youngest S-rank hunter. Deciding to start his own guild was just the cherry on top. Being hounded by paparazzi and fans was only a matter of time. For a while, he does his best to be polite. One of them could be his soulmate, after all. He stops and talks to people. He answers questions when he can. He puts up with the sneakily taken photographs with as much grace as possible. But the barrage never quite stops. And by the end of the first year, Eugene's mood is sour enough to rival a lemon. "Do I even want to be bonded with someone like them?" he thinks with a grimace, and starts pushing past them with nothing more than a curt greeting. Eventually, the public seems to catch on that there's nothing special about Eugene. And the questions turn from something said with interest to one that's skeptical and derisive. "What is the brother of Haon's guild leader doing here?" he gets when he applies for a new job, and Eugene just has to paste on a smile and explain again that, no, he hasn't awakened, and no, his brother doesn't pay his bills for him. "What is the brother of Haon's guild leader doing here?" is sneered at him 2 years down the road when Eugene finally caves and hires an awakening broker to put an end to the whispers. "What is the brother of Haon's guild leader doing here?" he still hears in hushed tones around him when he goes to buy low-ranked dungeon items. Some days, Eugene doesn't know if he hates his soulmate or Yuyan more. A year into his life as an F-ranked hunter, Eugene gets the chance at a relatively safer job, mining a dungeon after it's already been cleared. It's usually only the high-ranked dungeons that have that kind of safer, stricter system, and Eugene doesn't have the luxury of choosing those very often. The pay isn't even that bad. He waits outside the gate with the rest of the miners, ignoring the looks and whispers with the ease of long, hard practice. The sun is shining brightly, the supervisor only raised an eyebrow at his name, and he's going to get paid. Life doesn't get much better than this. After 10 minutes of waiting, the gate shimmers and the unmistakable figure of Sesong's guild leader steps out, red jacket fluttering in the breeze. Eugene recognizes him from the magazine articles and the front pages of newspapers, and also because Yuyan tried his hardest to punch him in the face on live television last month, during the inter-guild competitions. Watching your baby brother do his level best to absolutely annihilate someone leaves an impression. He gives the assembled mining team a cursory glance, like they're barely even worth his notice. But then his gaze catches on Eugene, and he slows to a stop. Eugene stiffens under the attention, feeling the eyes of everyone around them also turning towards him. "Just leave," he prays desperately. "Change your mind. Pretend you're mistaken. Just leave." Instead, Sung Hyun-jae opens his mouth just as the next few members of his team also step out of the gate. "What is the brother of Haon's guild leader doing here?" he asks with a delicately raised eyebrow. Eugene should have fucking figured. "Just doing my job, sir," he says with a painfully artificial smile that feels more like he's baring his teeth. And then, because he suddenly can't stand the idea of staying for this conversation even a second longer, he turns on his heel and marches towards the gate without waiting for a response. It takes Eugene 3 days into 5 years in the past to wonder what happened to his soulmate. The words on his arm are still the same, still just as infuriatingly precise and difficult to read as before. But the future is inevitably going to be different. Is he still going to meet his soulmate? Are they still going to say the same words to him? What is the brother of Haon's guild leader doing here? He hopes not. Chapter 2. One day, Hyun-jae wakes up with a woozy headache and the sudden, unshakable conviction that the words written on the inside of his right bicep are wrong. He's not quite sure why, because he's also absolutely certain that they're the same words that have been there his entire life. "I feel bad making you come out here and ask after me," it reads, in a messy but somehow still tidy handwriting that's almost as familiar to him as his own. He remembers being curious about it when he was younger, because he couldn't imagine asking after someone with any sort of concern, and that conviction has only grown stronger with age. Except it's not. Because the words that he knows are smaller, more jagged, and they read, "Just doing my job, sir." Except they don't. Because his words are right there in front of him. Except those are wrong. Hyun-jae spends a few days pointedly not looking at his arm, because it only exacerbates the feeling of wrongness already pervading his every movement. In the amount of time it takes for everyone at his guild to adjust to his new, familiar way of speaking, he makes up his mind that he's being ridiculous, and takes to glancing down at his arm every morning as he's changing to acclimate himself to his own soul mark. How ridiculous. Thankfully, his guild doesn't comment on his strange behavior, and by the time all of them have adjusted to the change, Hyun-jae receives a message from Haeyeon telling him in no uncertain terms to show up at a meeting if he wants to learn more about a hunter with a magical beast-raising ability. Not taming, raising. Hyun-jae doesn't want Han Yu-yeon going around thinking he can order Hyun-jae around, but his interest is piqued. So he graciously lets it slide and deigns to go. The first thing he thinks when he sets eyes on Han Yu-jin, visibly nervous and cradling a baby horned lion like a house cat, is mine. It's not even the desire to possess someone interesting or poach them for his own guild. He's quite familiar with that feeling, and it hardly holds a candle to this one. No, it's a bone-deep conviction that Han Yu-jin is special, even beyond his unique skill. It's the belief that Han Yu-jin shouldn't be anywhere but by his side. And isn't that a curious urge to have towards someone he's never met before? Han Yu-jin, who are you? What are you hiding? He tunes out most of the conversation, content to watch Han Yu-jin interact with the others, but Moon Hyuna's laugh breaks him out of his thoughts. "So, Sae-sung could buy you right away?" Han Yu-jin flicks him a quick glance. "Being the best in the country is a discount for my brother," he says, turning his attention back to Moon Hyuna. Hyun-jae is suddenly overwhelmingly aware that that glance wasn't enough. He wants more. For anyone else, the condition is best in the world. Best in the world. Never mind the spirit of Yu-jin's response, Hyun-jae latches on to the message laid there for everyone to see. Best in the world, huh? He can do that. Moon Hyuna, though, seems to find this statement hilarious. "Like Kyung, like Dongsaeng," she says through her laughter, which leads to a conversation where everyone realizes that there's something just a little bit wrong with Han Yu-jin. Even when Yu-young cuts Moon Hyuna off with a glare that would send even some nearby B-ranks running with their tail between their legs, Yu-jin just sits there watching the proceedings with a confused expression. Even when the negotiations begin and the other guild leaders try to pressure Yu-jin into folding to their terms, he calmly responds as if this were a normal business meeting, even when Yu-yeon intercedes. Fascinating. Once the contracts have been drawn up and signed, Hyun-jae steps forward and catches Yu-jin's attention before he can be distracted by his magical beast. "I'll keep your condition in mind," he says, watching Yu-jin's expression for any sign of recognition or surprise. The words are unique enough that he can't imagine Yu-jin having heard them from anyone else. but he gives no sign of recognition, other than a brief twist of confusion, before realization and resignation dawn on his face. Hmm. Perhaps he was mistaken. I'll see you again soon, he says amicably, patting Eugene on the shoulder, and makes his way out of the conference room. There is something interesting about Han Eugene, regardless of the existence of a soulmate connection, and Hyundae is going to be there to dig to the bottom of it. He gets his final confirmation when he sends Kang Soyoung to fetch Eugene and bring him to Saesong. It's a relief that you look healthy, he tells Eugene when Soyoung calls him over. And he's almost surprised to find the words to be genuine instead of a meaningless pleasantry or disguised teasing. I was worried. Eugene's expression does a complicated dance, somewhere between confusion and horror and vexation, before he politely replies, I feel bad making you come out here and ask after me. Ah. Hyunjae's hand pointedly does not come up to touch his arm where his words lie. Mismatched pairs are practically unheard of. Matches that choose not to be together are growing increasingly common, but marks that don't agree at all, the odds are astronomical. Hyunjae has always been one of a kind, but just this once, he wishes that maybe his circumstances could be a little different. Han Eugene could still not be his soulmate at all, but Hyunjae already feels the conviction settling deep in his chest. He knows that Eugene is his, but somehow he isn't Eugene's. It'll never be truly confirmed until he catches a glimpse of Eugene's own mark, but he somehow doubts that Eugene is that good at hiding his reactions. So Hyunjae is stuck with half a bond, and a soulmate who's utterly clueless about the whole situation. The energy behind his surge of frustration makes Soyoung lean back slightly, but Eugene hardly bats an eyelash. Eugene-kun came all the way out here, Hyunjae says through his teeth. It's an expression that he's practiced since childhood and knows is practically foolproof, but the doubt on Eugene's face doesn't waver. How could I not come? And then, because it's the only legitimate connection that they currently have, he prods the conversation in the direction of Eugene's magical beasts and Han Yuyun. There's some animosity between Eugene and his brother, Hyunjae discovers over the course of their conversation. Not hatred or anger, but just something off. Besides the overprotectiveness from Yuyun and Eugene's continued obliviousness. Enough to take him for yourself, something inside him questions quietly. He gently cradles that thought and sets it aside for further consideration later. Perhaps one day Hyunjae can sway Eugene to his side instead, but he suspects it will take careful planning. When he hands Eugene the gift that he prepared in advance, he's not quite expecting the surge of excitement that comes when Eugene takes it. Most people don't bother to take off jewelry-adjacent dungeon armor, and he expects Eugene to be the same way. The idea of something of Hyunjae's being with Eugene all the time. It's not quite enough to make up for the soul mark, but it's a step in the right direction. If fate won't give him the right soulmate, then Hyunjae will take matters into his own hands. The end. If you've enjoyed this story, please leave feedback to the author. You can do that at a link to the text through this Podfix post. Thank you for listening.